say what the Lord would have me say. Doesn't necessarily have to be a long message this morning, but I do want to put some things out there for you to really think about and consider. And I think I'm going to start here, and I felt impressed of the Lord that this is a good spot to start. I have a good friend, and he doesn't attend church here, so don't start trying to figure out who it is. But I have a good friend that recently received a significant raise on his job. Matter of fact, a $10,000 a year raise on his job, and we were give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Amen. And we were just rejoicing and celebrating over that, and he's been with this particular operation for almost 20 years now. And he's doing well. You know, he's thankful. And but in the course of our conversation, he said, I think part of what, and this is, by the way, this is a man that honors God with his life and his finances, and it's the blessing of the Lord. Amen. I mean, he knows that. He's given glory to God about that. And so he said, you know, Pastor, he said, I think what surprised me so much about that raise, not just how much it was, he said, but I thought that I had already topped out with this company. Say that again. I thought I had already topped out with this. What does that mean? In other words, he felt like he had kind of reached the limit of, you know, what he would be compensated for his work. And so as I was thinking about that, I believe there is a lot of God's people who believe they've already topped out with the things of God, that they've already kind of reached the limit of what's available to them, or reached the limit of what they can accomplish for the Lord, or reached the limit of what potential they have in the things of God. But you have not topped out. Matter of fact, if you would just do something, not just for me, but for you and for the Lord, would you tell a few people around you this morning, I have not topped out. Come on now, I'm serious about this. I have not topped out. I have not topped out. Matter of fact, if you remember when the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon because she had heard so much about his wisdom and his magnificence and excellence and wealth, she had to come see for herself, because you're going to find out at the end of this meeting that she didn't believe it until she saw it. And this is what she said to Solomon. She said, you know, the half has not been told. The half has not been told. Or she thought people were exaggerating, thought that people were, you know, how things get told and people, you know, tell it differently. And next thing you know, a thousand's turned into 10,000, and 10,000 turned into, you know. So she didn't believe it till she came to see for herself. And when she saw it for herself, she left saying the half had not been told. In other words, it wasn't exaggerated. Even the biggest report that she had heard didn't cover half of the reality of the glory and magnificence and wealth and wisdom of Solomon. Well, there's a greater one than Solomon here. That's what Jesus said. Amen. There's a greater one than Solomon here. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so not only have you and I not topped out, amen. You did say top out, not tapped out, right? Amen. Not only have we not topped out, I don't believe we're even halfway there yet as to what God has done for us and who he has made us and what he has given to us. Amen. I shared this on a Wednesday night not too long ago, and I'm not going to try to repeat that message, but there's some verses from the book of Isaiah that's really been stirring in my heart, and they were again last night, where the Lord spoke of raising up repairers of the breach. Have you ever heard that expression from the scriptures, repairers of the breach? And so that's just a fancy way of saying people who fill in gaps in the walls that surround a city. So cities have to be maintained, and the walls that surrounded them back in ancient times had to be maintained. And of course, they, you know, sometimes would be attacked and there would be damage done to the wall, or sometimes it just fall into disrepair. And so a repairer of the breach would be someone whose job it was to repair those gaps and fill those gaps in the wall. Amen. Now, we know that biblically speaking, walls are symbolic. In other words, there were literal walls that surrounded cities, but those walls were also symbolic of many things. And so I believe, and I'm not the only person in this room, but I could even make a case that perhaps in many ways we all are, but I believe I'm among those that God has raised up in these last days to fill in some gaps. A repairer of the breach, or a closer of the gap. And let me just, stay with me. If you're looking for something super profound this morning, you may not find it, but if you're looking for something that'll be life-changing, I believe it is here for you, okay? The gap that I believe, or the gaps, plural, that I believe that the Lord would have me help people fill in their lives is the gap between the way things truly are and the way they think they are. Let me try to say that the same way, but a different way, okay? If way over here is how it really is, according to the Word of God, okay? And then wherever we are on this side, headed that direction of how we think it really is. So you got how it really is, and you got how you think it is. Are you with me? Okay. So we got a gap there. And you could call it an understanding gap or an awareness gap. If we're not aware, are you following me? If we're not aware of what God has done for us, if we're not aware of who He has made us, if we're not aware of what He's given to us, then this creates a gap in our understanding, which is preventing us from experiencing and enjoying the things that Father God has for us. Now, I want to try to combine these two things together, because Paul said that he kept reaching for the prize. He kept pressing against, right? So what's he pressing against? He's pressing against the forces of darkness that are trying to keep him from experiencing and enjoying his birthright as a son or daughter of God. Okay? So Paul said that he kept pushing and pressing, listen very carefully, to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of him. To lay hold of that, meaning to actually possess and experience in his life reality all that Jesus has done for him, all that Jesus has made him to be, and all that Jesus has given to him freely. Okay? Now, what happens is we get, you know, we're growing. Are you following me? We're growing. And the Holy Spirit will help you close these gaps. Are you following me? Now, I want this to be positive. I don't want this to be negative, but see, the enemy wants there to be gaps in your understanding. Because the weak places in the wall, that's the first place the enemy's going to attack. Are you following me? If you don't understand, if you're not aware of, well, let's use the breastplate of righteousness for an example. Okay? Because again, the armor of God that we see in Ephesians chapter 6, this is like a portable wall, if you will. The church, we're not supposed to be, you know, hiding behind walls. We're supposed to be out in the world proclaiming Jesus. Are you with me? Letting our light so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. But it's a dangerous place out there. So Father God has provided some armor for us to put on. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. It just so happens in Isaiah where he's talking about repairs of the breach, he also talks about the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. The Apostle Paul didn't coin that terminology. That came from the Holy Spirit, first to Isaiah and then inspired again when Paul in Ephesians 6 starts talking about putting on the whole armor of God. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Okay. So the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, let's just stay with those two. There's obviously other pieces. Let's just stay, because those are the two main ones. The head and the upper torso, those are the places where the enemy obviously is going to try to attack in battle. Go for the head, go for the what do you call it, the torso or the midsection or what have you. And so righteousness is what protects us here. Salvation is what protects us here. Now, listen, don't get offended at me. Just hear me out, okay? My mom and dad taught us that you put on the whole armor of God by, you know, saying, I put, you know, just in your heart and mind, even saying that out of your mouth, you put it on. I'm not saying that's wrong, okay? But you can only put the helmet of salvation on to the extent that you understand what it means to be saved. If there are gaps in your understanding of what it means to be a born-again man or a woman, notice the understanding gap, that's going to be the weak spot the devil tries to pinpoint in your life and continue to gain access to your mind. Are you following me? Now, again, symbolically, the helmet for the brain, where the mind interfaces, and then the breastplate of righteousness for the heart. So we're talking about the inward man now. Yes. Am I losing some of you? I know some of you are new. Maybe I don't want to, just hang with me. We're going somewhere. Okay. Don't overthink it. It's really exactly what I'm saying this morning. So if you've been born again, you have been made, according to the Word of God, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All right, so let me act it out for you, okay? That's the reality. That's how it truly is. You are as right with God in the eyes of God as Jesus himself. Not based upon what you've done, but based upon an abundance of righteousness, the gift of grace and an abundance of righteousness. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm excited. Can you tell? Amen. The gift of grace. Amen. An abundance, he says in Romans 5. And we've been given, because of that abundance of grace, we've been given the gift of righteousness. Not something we discerned or earned, okay? Deserved or earned. He gave it to you. He made you. So let's go back to it. Let's go back to these things, okay? What God has done for you. Do you understand what he's done for you? Do you understand that because of what he's done for you, he's made you some things you could never make yourself? And when he made you what you could never make yourself and who you could never make yourself, that put you in a position to be given some things, amen, that only belong to sons and daughters of God. He made you an heir of God and a joint heir, a co-heir together with Jesus. Okay, but let me just focus on the righteous, because if you can see the pattern, it applies to all the above, right? Okay, so he made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we put that on, that breastplate of righteousness. Okay? So that's the reality. That's how it truly is. Okay? But now, back over here would be how you understand it to be. So many of God's people still understand righteousness as something they have to earn. So many of God's people still understand right standing with God as something that they have to try to live up to, something they have to try to make themselves by their good works and all these other stuff, right? Well, notice now, if you think like that, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're confused. There is a gap in how things truly are and your understanding of how things truly are. Growth is closing that gap. Growth is the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God working in your life to help you see and understand things as they truly are. But now watch this. This is how it truly is. But back over here, this is practicality, right? This is where we live in every day of our lives. So whatever gap there is in our understanding of our righteousness, right? This makes us vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. See, when the enemy, let's talk about some of those fiery darts that the shield of faith quenches, right? One of those fiery darts is when the devil brings condemnation against you. When he tries to bring, you know, low self-esteem and poor self-image and all these things against you, okay? Now, see, if someone truly understands that they're just as right before God in the eyes of God as Jesus, that shield, that breastplate, if you will, it's at full strength. But any gap in your understanding creates a gap in the breastplate. And it's the gap that the enemy is going to target. He's trying to find weak places in your understanding of these things so that he can exploit those gaps. He can exploit those weak places and continue to use those things against you. I'm trying hard this morning because I want you to see this. This is so, so critically important. Now, how does this tie in with I've topped out? Someone who believes they've topped out is someone who has quit trying to grow. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's somebody who said, you know, I mean, this is kind of how my life is right now, blah, blah, blah. You're just kind of hanging in there and all this other stuff. We've got to have a shift in our understanding when it comes to what growth truly is, what it looks like, how we participate in the process. Amen. Is this making sense to you? Okay. So we've got to close these gaps. We've got to let the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit help us understand how things really are. For example, he says, acknowledge every good thing that's in you. You can't acknowledge what you have no knowledge of. But acknowledging it is only part of the process. Because once you acknowledge that this is true about you, then we've got to start putting it into practice in our daily lives. Amen? All right. Let me, it's a couple of things that I feel compelled to show you at least every Sunday till the Lord tells me not to show it to you anymore. So, you can grow. You haven't topped out. And because you can grow, you can change. Because you can grow, you can change. Trying to change without growing is very frustrating. Trying to change without growth. Listen, I'm not picking on you this morning. I'm not picking on me this morning. But we all know some things in our lives that we need to change. Hopefully they're not the same things you needed to change 5 years ago. Maybe they are. But we all know some things. Because what is that? That's the progress. We were talking a couple Sundays ago about the different ways that a mature person responds compared to how an immature person responds. Are you with me? And we said that what is the determining factor in the response from a mature person versus the response from an immature person? We said the difference is how those two different people look at things, how they see the situation. So that's your understanding. That's how you understand it. How you see it determines how you respond to it. We often identify either the mature response or the immature response in what's said or what's done, but we don't realize that beneath the response is how the different ways a person looks at things. Are you with me? So the Lord reminded me of this week. He said another really good one is along these lines is, you know, how do you respond to an immature person? It's very easy for us to think that, you know, we're really doing good on some stuff. Well, if you're so mature, how is your response to someone who's immature in your life? Again, do you recognize that they're at a different level of growth and development than you? And you pray for them, you encourage them, you... Nothing like an immature person to expose our immaturity. Amen. So it comes back then to our understanding. But what happens so many times is we know we have these things in our lives that need to change, but we try to change and without growing. And it's frustrating, and I think it's that frustration that finally, you know, over time people just get to this place in life where they say, well, you know, I've topped out, really. I've kind of reached my limit of what I'm capable of. And when the truth is you haven't even scratched the surface. Praise God. All right. Now, I want to finish really a couple of thoughts that we began with last week, and then we'll go enjoy some food together, and we'll try to get through a little early this morning. Everybody say amen to that. How do we grow, and where do we start? Okay. How do we grow, and where do we start? Okay. Bottom line is this. We grow by doing things differently. Okay, now that's a broad statement because different doesn't necessarily mean better. Okay. But when I say doing things differently, I'm talking about identifying the areas of resistance in your life where you know this is something that I need to do. This is something the Lord is leading me to do. This is something that I know in my heart is a step I need to take. Maybe it involves forgiving someone. Maybe it involves asking someone to forgive you. Maybe it involves you being more committed, more faithful, to church or to prayer or to, in other words, I'm not just trying to make this long list, okay? Because the devil is going, the next right step you need to take, the devil's going to try to do everything he can to keep you from taking it. For some of you, it's a major victory that you're in this room this morning. Amen or oh me. There's people in this room you've known for weeks, months, maybe years, you're supposed to be here. But for whatever reason, it just seems like the hardest thing in the world to get up on a Sunday morning and come to Heritage Christian Center. Okay. So praise God. You pushed, that was the enemy trying to keep you from taking the steps that you need to take in life. And notice, if you're here this morning for the first time, you're doing something different. You're pushing against the resistance. Are you seeing this? All right. So we said the path forward is through the resistance. Growth is, I know there are pastors and preachers who take this to an extreme and they say God is bringing all this adversity into your life because he's trying to make you a better person. God is not the source of your adversity. He's the source of your help. Satan is your adversary. Your adversary is the source of your adversity. The devil is the one who's trying to stop you. The devil is the one who's trying to keep you from closing the gap between how you think things are and understanding how they truly are. The devil can ill afford you ever finding out what it means to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. To keep you from ever finding out what it means to truly be a born again man or woman. And what's true about you now that you have received salvation. What God has done for you. The love that he has for you. Who you are in relationship to him. What belongs to you now as a son or a daughter of God. The devil has tried your whole life to keep you from ever understanding these things. Keep you from ever discovering these things. And one of the ways he does it is he tries to keep you away from people and places who know these things, who are trying to explain these things to you. Am I right about it? We're closing some gaps. We're closing some gaps. You ever one of those situations in your life where it's like, man, it's like something just amazed you and you go like, I never knew. I've shared this many times before, but when I held Bethany for the first time, it's like this realization of how much my parents loved me. Closed a big gap. I mean, I knew that they did, but there's something about when you hold your own child, it's like, wow. Then it was different. My first grandchild, I held Oliver, and it's like the Lord spoke to me and says, he has no idea how much he's loved. I mean, he's just an infant, right? He doesn't even know he's in the world. He has no idea how much he's loved, right? Are you with me? So it's like when we have these moments. See, there's a lot of people talking about revival in the church. Don't misunderstand me. I believe there needs to be revival in the church. But what this world needs more than revival in the church is an awakening. We need an awakening in our world. What is an awakening? It's when people become aware of what they're not aware of right now. It's when people's eyes are opened to truth that's been there the whole time. They've just been blinded to it. This is how we grow. This is how we develop. This is how we close those gaps. This is how we experience and enjoy more and more of how it truly is instead of how you, man, it makes me so sad when I see God's people struggling in areas of their life and it doesn't have to be that way. Hallelujah. So, we grow by pushing against the resistance. God's not trying to stop you. He's trying to help you. The devil's trying to stop you from this discovering of truth and reality and your eyes being open to it. And it's the only real option he has. He can't just, like, let you just crush him. So he's got to try to stop you. He's betting on you, what, taking the path of least resistance. But if you don't take that path of least resistance, in other words, if you push against the resistance, if you push against the closing walls of your comfort zone, if you push against them, just like someone lifting weights, you're using your faith, you're exercising your faith, and you're becoming stronger. And then the experiences that you have by pushing against that resistance, it's that lived experience now. You're starting to see things differently, not just because you heard somebody say it, but because you're actually starting to experience it in your life. You're starting to experience the breakthroughs. You're starting to experience. Remember that long list of things we talked about? Instead of laying awake worrying at night, you go to bed being thankful. You find yourself responding differently and better in situations that maybe a few weeks ago you'd have said some things that you'd have later regretted. That's called growth. It's change. How do we grow? Pushing against the resistance, which means doing things better and doing them differently. Can't keep doing what we've always done and expect to get something different. So we haven't topped out. And where does it begin? It begins with love. It begins with love. I am more convinced of that today. And listen, those of you who've been around Heritage for the last 28 years, what have you, you know, we talk a lot about love. We talk about it early and often. But it all comes back. It all comes back to God, and God is love. Amen. We were created to be loved by Him, and we were created in such a way as to be able to return love back to Him. And one of the key ways that we return love back to Him is by loving others who were created in His image. Amen. Jesus said, if you want to do something for me, do it for one of the least of these, my brethren. Because if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Amen. It's love. This is, let's go back to, we try to change without growth, and it's frustrating. Let me tell you what else is frustrating. It's trying to grow in faith without growing in love. It's trying to be strong in faith, but weak in love. It'll never work. But the Bible says when we start loving, not just in the words that we use, but in deed and in truth, that it assures our hearts before God. Next thing you know, you're finding it easier and easier to believe God. Watch this now. And harder to doubt. Because you've been growing in love. You've been growing in your willingness to be inconvenienced by other people. And stand with me. Praise God. Stand with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Going through the motions will not produce growth in our lives. Amen. There are times when going through the motions is all we got, I guess, you know. I understand that. I'm be guilty of it myself. But God has more for us as a family of faith, as sons and daughters of God, than just going through the motion a few times a month on Sundays. Are you hearing me? Father, as we stand before you this morning, we say thank you again for loving us. Thank you for helping us. Father, help us identify these gaps, these breaches, Lord, in our lives to where we think it's one thing and you say it's another. Where we understand it to be one way and you clearly state in your word that this is how it truly is. Father, that we would put on that helmet of salvation. That we would put on that breastplate of righteousness. That we would take up that shield of faith and that belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. Father, that we would be well defended and well armed to not only experience and enjoy victory in our lives, but to help others, our friends, our family members, our loved ones, our sons, our daughters, experience victory in theirs. Father, forgive us for thinking that we have somehow topped out in this Christianity thing. when sadly we barely scratch the surface as to what all is available for us and to experience and do and accomplish and release into this world for your glory. Father, may we leave this room this morning more determined than ever to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. May a deeper understanding of these things provoke a different response, Lord, to our times together, to our fellowship with you, to the gifts and callings and things that you've laid on our hearts to do for you, Lord. Not something that we have to do, but something that we get to do, Lord. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as we go to enjoy a meal, we just bless this food. We thank you for the hard work that's gone into preparing it. I thank you, Father, that it's going to be a blessing. And, Lord, not just the actual food, but the fellowship as we enjoy one another's company. May it all be blessed to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning.